You've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hello, hello. Tamara here on yet another incredibly snowy day in Denver, Colorado. I have to say, it's so beautiful and quiet when the snow hits the ground. For those of you who live in the more northern or eastern states, you know what I'm talking about. You in the south are probably enjoying your sunshine right now. I'm a little jealous of that too, actually. But the snow is beautiful. All right, we're not here to talk about snow today. We're actually here to talk about diversity of thinking and how that leads to innovation. And not only the how and kind of the why behind it, but also, what do you do to even tap the power of the diversity on your team? I think a lot of us know why. It's the what and the how that actually gets us a little bit tripped up, and that's okay. And in fact, Janet said just that in her question to us. So Janet, everyday innovator you, thank you for submitting your question. I think this is an important one for us to tackle. And in fact, it couldn't come on a better day because today I'm spending some time with my team and actually going through some ideas and processes and systems and goals and strategy and all that good stuff. So it kind of feels really appropriate because it's a wonderful reminder for me too, to actually make sure that when I'm in these meetings and we're collaborating, that we're not just doing it superficially. We're actually digging a few layers deep and getting into the diversity of thought and the power of that it really brings. So Janet, thank you for the question. Let's get to it.
Hi, Tamara. My name's Janet, and I'm wondering, I think I know the answer to this first one, but why diversity of thought is important on my team? And then secondly, if I do feel like I've got a diverse team, how can I be sure that I'm actually getting all of their diverse perspectives? Thank you.
Janet, such an important question. Thank you for asking. Like I said, it couldn't be more appropriate today. Because I'm going down and working with my teams, and it's a wonderful reminder to tap the power of the diversity. But you know, you mentioned in your question that you were kind of asking about the why and the kind of how and the what, that you probably knew the answer to why, and I'm sure you do, and really questioning around, well, how do I even do that? So I'm going to tackle both today. And in terms of the why, I think all of us kind of intuitively understand why it's helpful, but I want to add some clarity and some another layer really to the kind of why part about diversity of thinking and why it matters. So let's dig into this, Janet, and for all of us everyday innovators, because this is such a great question. So I want to take it a step back for a second and think about what a team really is. I think, you know, it's obvious to write, like a team is a group of people who come together for a shared purpose or in the pursuit of a common goal, right? That's obvious. And it's actually quite accurate. But I think when we think about team overall, that only scratches the surface. That doesn't tell us, you know, aside from kind of everybody being all in for a singular objective or mission, it doesn't really tell us how that team kind of comes together. And the reality is we're tribal as humans. So we got to think about our team as our tribe. And we think about that. I like to think of teams as, and I wrote about this in my upcoming book, Innovation is Everybody's Business. I like to think of a team as a collection of diverse individuals, each seeking to both perform their task to their highest level and contribute their value to the greater good of the team. I think a team is not just like all of us looking at the same goalpost. I think it's also all of us wanting on an individual level to really contribute and have a strong voice and then also contribute to the greater good of the team. And I don't think you need to be a sports fanatic to understand how that works, right? In fact, we just kind of passed the Super Bowl, and I think that's a great example, right? Like the quarterback wants to be the best quarterback, the wide receiver, the best wide receiver, the coach, the best coach. Everybody's there to win the game and to perform their task to their best. And let me just add a layer to that, to perform their task in conjunction with the other teammates at their best. I mean, the quarterback, the wide receiver, the offensive line, all of that, right? They all have to work together. Now, If you're not a sports person, which I know a lot of us are not, think of it as an a cappella group as well. I was just having this conversation with someone the other day that we were talking about how our energies are very different, but I think that's why we actually get along. I was saying how it's a little bit like an a cappella group, right? Like not everybody sings at the same, I'm going to botch this up for any of you singers out there, but the same tone, right? Like some are baritone, some are sopranos. Am I saying this right? You know what I mean. But everybody wants to do their best in their role and work together to create the beautiful music. And a cappella groups work because everybody sings in a slightly different way, but in a way that comes together. But with the a cappella and the sports team, they've come to understand how their differences actually benefit each other, how they can actually leverage themselves and what they bring and the differences that other people bring to their group to get a stronger, more valuable outcome. I want to share a quote with you also from my book that my good friend, colleague, and just amazing thought leader in the field of diversity of thinking, Kelly MacDonald, she wrote, How to Work With and Lead People Not Like You. And to no surprise, she's actually a collaborative, instinctual, everyday innovator. But she gave me this beautiful quote for my book that I think really sums it up. So it's, diversity of thought is the bedrock of innovation. I just love the way she says that. When you get a group of people with different cognitive styles, perspectives, and experiences together, you create an environment where innovation naturally thrives. You strengthen ideas and create innovation that is thoughtful, relevant, and meaningful. Innovation is also more likely to be implemented, that's so important there, Launch Street, when created by a group with diverse mindsets. Everyone becomes a stakeholder, and the innovation reflects the views of different constituencies. It's more holistic. That's why it works. Let's just break down that quote for a minute, because I love it so much. So the first part there, right, that diversity of thought is the bedrock of innovation. It creates cross-collaboration. It creates different perspectives. It creates friction. It creates collaboration. That doesn't happen when everybody's coming from the same perspective, with the same experiences, looking in the same box, at the same information, and coming up with the same ideas. It happens in that diversity of thinking. It also more naturally thrives because innovation more naturally thrives because you have all these different perspectives coming together. You know, I mentioned in the very beginning that teams are kind of like tribes. A tribe wouldn't work if everybody in the tribe was a blacksmith or everybody in the tribe was a hunter. It works and everybody and more comes out of it because the hunter, right, goes and gets, actually, let me say it differently, the blacksmith creates the tools that the hunter then gets to go use and then brings back and the gatherer gets to cook, right? Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not a historian on tribes, but I think you get the point, right? It actually naturally thrives because you've got all these different perspectives coming together. If you want to try an exercise, a very simple one that I think brings this to life, try smashing random things together. So take something you're working on and then smash it with your, I don't know, iPad. Be like, what could this create, right? So like, for example, if I were to smash together podcasting and I'm looking around my office for something and my world map, right? So I've got this map on my wall that we put, my family and I put pins in every time we travel somewhere. So I keep it in front of my desk as a reminder of why I do what I do. But if I smash together podcasting and that map, I might come up with an idea of, oh, putting pins for every place that people ask questions from across the globe. Or I might come up with the idea of interviewing people in different languages so that we kind of have more global reach. Actually, this is totally on the fly, but I'm really loving both of those ideas, especially the one about the pins. But do you get my point? It's diverse things coming together. And it's even more powerful when you have diverse people, right? Diverse perspectives and experiences coming together. The third thing Kelly said there that I think is so valuable is that it gets more likely to get implemented. When people feel like they are part of the journey, part of the idea moving forward, when they've had a say, they are more likely to have buy-in. So it's a very natural thing. It makes a lot of sense. This is why people on our everyday innovator style, our personality test, who are collaboratives, tend to get more buy-in because they actually innovate by pulling disparate people and ideas and experiences together. But because of that, because of that, they're talking to a lot of different people all the time. So there's always buy-in. And I know that some of you might be shaking your head and going, yeah, Tamara, but not everybody's idea is going to get implemented or everybody's perspective or like some people you have to say no to. Totally fine. here's my experience. People don't need to be right. They need to be heard. So if you include them in a way that makes them part of the process and explain why you do the things you do at the end, through all that diversity of thinking coming together, people feel valued and heard. We really don't need to be right. We really do need to be heard. I've seen it time and time again. But point being that when people are part of the innovation, they're more likely to implement. And the part that Kelly doesn't talk about that I'd like to add to this is that there's a lot of innovation that can happen in the implementation too. I think we make the mistake of thinking it's, you know, this versus that, like innovation versus implementation, but there's a lot of innovation on the back end as well. So all of that to say is when you have a set of people together, there's tremendous power in tapping the power of the diversity in thinking. And that's a lot of the why diversity of thinking is so important. The ideas are more holistic. You get more buy-in. There are fewer holes in it because here's the reality. When it's just me or people like me innovating, there's a whole vantage point that we're not looking from, right? If you're sitting at your desk and you're innovating and you're coming up with a brilliant idea, which I'm sure it is, there's still holes, right? There's still a whole vantage point that you can't see. It's like the blind spot in your car. You need help seeing those blind spots. We all have them. It's egotistical to think that we don't. So now that we've covered a little bit of the why, I'd like to talk about the how. And to do that, I want to share an example of a recent workshop we did. It was with a team of roughly 25 people. They were actually brand managers, or they were all managed as kind of one portfolio of brands. And from the way I saw it after kind of having the initial discovery calls, they really had three challenges. One is they were all working in silos, heads down, meaning they were just so focused on their task at hand that they weren't really tapping the power of the diversity of thinking. Yes, they worked together in kind of a brand portfolio, but really everybody was just kind of like, let me get my bullet points on my job description done. And that happens to a lot of us. The second challenge they were facing is they really lacked an awareness of how to leverage the people around them beyond job title. So Greg knew to go to Susie when he had a question about production, or Susie knew to go to Lisa when she had a question about sales. But they didn't, beyond that, didn't quite understand how to tap each other. And I will tell you, I think that's a massive missed opportunity when we're just looking to people for their job titles. Because as we talked about a second ago with the why of diversity of thinking, there's so much more to it. So that was the second challenge, lacking awareness of how to leverage. And the third one is, if they were going to people for help, right, or to bounce ideas off of or to move something forward, they were always going to the same 2 to 3 people. Usually people that thought like them, right? It makes sense. It's easier. It's more comfortable. You know the person. They know your language. You know their language. So the communication's easier. And I think we all do that, by the way. It's so much easier to go to the people, the same people all the time. In fact, I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I catch myself having a conversation with someone, a colleague of mine who I go to bounce challenges off of because she knows my business. She's smart as hell. And that's all great. But then I think to myself, oh yeah, I should go ask somebody that's not usually on my radar to get some diversity of thinking around this. And that helps me actually poke holes in the idea, make it stronger because I do that. But for them, right, it's always the same 2 to 3 people, the ones that were easy and comfortable. So the challenges that they had and the challenges that a lot of us, this might feel familiar to you, have when we're not tapping the power of diversity of thinking is we end up working in silos. We have no awareness of how to leverage the people around us beyond job titles. So that's all we're doing. And if we are going to people, it's the same 2 to 3 people. So I'm sure you're smiling and thinking to yourself, gosh, Tamara, when you say those three that way, it's no wonder the ideas are incremental. It's no wonder there's no, like, you know, solid innovation coming out of the team. And that's exactly what they were struggling with. And you're right. That's exactly the challenge. So that's the challenges that I saw. The reason they brought us in was kind of one big challenge that they needed to tackle. And it was a big business challenge they were facing. And they needed us to come in and help them solve it through a more innovative lens. And their challenge, just high level, was how to go to market in their kind of sales and marketing strategy. It wasn't working. The competition was eating them for breakfast. Basically, what worked for the last 10 years for their business was not working moving forward. And as we've kind of seen recently, it used to be that kind of competition coming in, or, you know, kind of sticking to what we've always done, had this like minor, just like it almost was like just a little poke at us in terms of the impact, but they're feeling it big, right? The impact went from like a little bit to, oh my gosh, we got to do something about this overnight. I think that happens to a lot of us, but that's why they brought us in, right? They've got this real world tackle that they need to challenge, and they know they need a more innovative lens to look at it. So they bring us in, right? So for this innovation know-how, for the templates that we have, the workshop, the exercises to get the team out of obvious and incremental and into meaningful and innovative. We know because of our human-centered philosophy and approach that in order to accomplish this, we actually have to take a step back and get everyone to recognize how they innovate, pull out the innovation inside the individuals, and get them to dig beneath the surface to tap the power of diversity of thinking to get to those stronger ideas, right? We know to tackle those big business challenges, we got to take a couple steps back, get them to understand from the individual level how they innovate, and then from the team level, how they can tap that power of diversity of thinking to get to those stronger, more innovative ideas. So that's what we're there to accomplish. And actually, that's what we do with great success. I'm super excited about it. It was such a wonderful day. And, you know, upon reflecting on the day and thinking about this question that Janet, that you put in, I think the magic happened in that day when this diverse set of individuals actually came together as a team. It was when they started to really leverage each other and kind of work together beyond that job title. I think when they understood how to leverage the value that each person brought, kind of both in the obvious, but also in the friction, because it turns out friction is good for innovation. And when you're working with people who are not like you, when you are trying to tap someone who comes from a different perspective, a different vantage point, a different style of innovation, it can cause friction, right? These are not the people that you just communicate in the same way or come from the same place. So there can be a little bit of butting heads, but that can actually be good for innovation if you understand how to leverage that and not kind of run away from it. And I think what was really cool about the experience that I wanted to share with you that really relates to this question and to give you some idea of how to tap the power of diversity, why it's so important, is that when they came together, the ideas, the solutions that they came up with were so much stronger, so much more powerful than the ones that they would have come up with if they had worked in silos or kind of like they had been in the past. And, you know, I always say that I think ideas that come from birds of a feather die, but ideas that come from diversity of thinking tend to thrive. And that's exactly what happened in this workshop with this client. Because here's the thing, in order to truly get the benefit of diversity of thinking, you have to invest the time to A, understand your team as individuals, right? Their lifestyle, their experiences, perspectives, even hobbies and passions, bring all that together, their unique everyday innovator style, which I know I keep mentioning. You can go to the website and discover your everyday innovator style, and you can even get a team pack so you can get your team to understand how they innovate and that you can understand as their leader how to tap the power of the diversity that you have right in front of you in their different innovator styles. There's a lot of different styles out there. It's so cool. But again, back up and say that we've got to invest the time to understand your team as individuals, and then do the work to get the team to see that in each other. We often, I think, jump ahead. And you know what? We aren't all wearing our diversity of thinking on our sleeves. Yeah, there are some obvious ones that really do lead to incredible diversity. The ones that we talk about a lot, and you see it a lot in the news too, like race and gender and age, and those are incredibly important. And I would encourage you to have an absolutely diverse team in that way and dig deeper to understand that cognitive diversity that comes from all those things I just mentioned: lifestyle, experiences, perspectives, hobbies, your everyday innovator style, all of that. Those two things matter so much. Let me say them again: understanding your team as individuals and then getting them to see how they can leverage each other. Basically, it's how to bring out the best in myself and bring out the best in the people around me. That's how you tap the power of the diversity of thinking. And I think all too often, you know, we jump so fast to, you know, let's tackle our challenges, let's go for our goals without doing that heavy lifting first. But if you do that first, everything else will work better. Let me quickly break down I think the three sections of are the workshops that we do so that you can do the same with your teams. I think breaking it down this way will actually give you a little bit of understanding of the how we do it and how you can think about doing it on your end as well. So I'd say the first section of our workshops is the individuals, right? The everyday innovator styles, right? How each person innovates, how what their power triggers are, what their dormant trigger is, how they contribute, how they add massive value, how their voice and their diverse style of being an innovator, how that contributes to the work that they do, right? We want to elevate that and everybody as individuals. Like I said in the beginning with my sports, my acapella, right? I want my quarterback to be the best quarterback, not just a quarterback. In the acapella group, if my job is the low voice, whatever that is, baritone maybe, right? I want to be the best at that. So we want to start there of making sure that everybody's individual performance and innovation is at that high level. So that's section one is the individual. Section two is the team performance. And this is exercises so the team can see how they work together as a diverse team. You know, it doesn't actually come naturally. And I think as I've alluded to in several sections of this kind of answer, you know, and Janet, I think, you know, this is probably greatly applies to your scenario, your situation is it can cause friction when you've got a diverse set of people together, right? We don't necessarily understand where the other person is coming from. So we need to learn to be open and receptive. In fact, we need to learn to not just recognize that that person comes from a different perspective, cognitive thinking, lifestyle, hobby, all of that, but also recognize the value in it as well. So our second section in our workshops is always about taking the time to get people to understand how they can work together better as a diverse team, because it doesn't always come naturally. And that takes some exercises and some kind of some conversation and debriefing to get them to that place. But man, when they do, it is so incredible and so powerful. And I've seen it time and time again with all the teams that I've worked with. It's like there's this tipping point, right? Where suddenly it's like, oh, you know, the clouds part and everyone's like, oh my God, I get it now. But we got to get people there. We can't just assume that we get into a room and say, hey guys, we're all a little bit different and we're going to leverage that today to have stronger ideas. So the second part of our workshops is all about, hey, here's now that we understand how diverse everybody is, individuals, and everyone's bringing this A game, here's how we work together given that diversity. And not just when we're brainstorming and collaborating like the workshops, but in everyday work as well, because you don't want to launch and abandon, right? You want to keep that innovation going. So that's the second part, team performance. The third one is we take all that individual and team, you know, cohesiveness. Now that we have that glue that's actually working and everything's kind of humming, we then use exercises that act as the right stimulus to apply all that innovation and teamwork to the task at hand, to the challenge, whatever it is. In this case, right, it was going to figuring out a new marketing and sales strategy, new go-to-market, so the competition stopped eating them for breakfast. So basically, the three parts that I want you to think about with your team and how to tap the power of that diversity of thinking is one, individual. Spend some time understanding the diversity and the contribution and the innovation and the performance that they can bring, empower them to elevate their game. Two, apply that to team performance and spend the time to show them how they do it and how to do it better, how to work together better. And then three, take all that individual and team and start applying that to your challenges with a more innovative lens and with exercises and tools that can help you think differently, right? You don't want to do all this incredible work to tap the power of diversity of thinking to only then kind of ask the same question or do the same exercise you've always done, because I will tell you nothing puts a halt on it than going to your team and doing all this amazing work and then bringing them what you did yesterday. So really think about that third part is new ways to look at your challenge or opportunity, whatever it is you're tackling. So three parts, individual, team, application. I think often the challenge is that we leap to part three, to application, without doing the work on the first part, the individual and team. You've got to invest in number one and number two, the individual and the team, for number three, the application to work. It's exactly what happens with the teams that we work with, and that's what I want for you and your teams that you lead. So think about how you can spend some time on, hey, how can I help everyone on my team understand their uniqueness and their value within that uniqueness And then how do I get them to recognize how to work together? And then let's apply that to the stuff that we're dealing with so that we can have those more meaningful and innovative solutions so that we can leap ahead all of that. So three parts, individual, team, application. Janet, that is the how that you're going to tap the power of the diversity of thinking. Because to your point and your question, right, we all know the why. And here's one, I'm going to take a tangent on, didn't put this in my notes, but I think it's important. One of the mistakes that I have made and I've seen other people make, is leaders make, is that we spend all the time on the why, right? This is why it's important. And I think it's important to set the stage. I think it's important to get us all recognizing the value and tapping the power of diversity of thinking and how we can go three levels deeper. But if all we do is spend time on the why, we're missing the boat completely because then there's no how. So we don't implement. And I think as leaders, we often get frustrated because we're like, here's why we're doing this. Here's why. But the teams don't have the how. So we got to give them the how as well. So let me close out with this thought, Janet, for you and for all of us on Inside Launch Street. If you want to build meaningful solutions, if you want to finally tackle those sticky challenges that just keep rearing their ugly head, or even just get a leg up from where you are, be proactive, you've got to tap the power of diversity of thought in yourself and in those around you. Your ideas will be more thought through, more holistic, more battle-tested. They'll be so much stronger. All right. With that, Tamara, out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.